Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about the global supply chain. If you've been following the channel, you'll know that we've been talking about the shift that's happening right now in the global supply chain. Most of the Western world has applied sanctions against Russia and no longer wants to do any business with them. And that means that we're seeing a shift in terms of who Russia will be dealing with going forward, and also all of the Western world are having to change who they're sourcing their materials from. So we're already seeing that shift in terms of oil. It's ongoing with regards to liquefied natural gas, and anything else that previously was being bought from Russia is now having to be sourced from elsewhere. And that's having a knock-on domino effect to the global supply chain, because when the Western world goes and buys something that somebody else was previously buying, the previous buyer then has to find that from another source. And so we're seeing a bit of a merry-go-round right now. And this is coming at a time when we already had a lot of pressure on the global supply chain. COVID-19 caused major problems with regards to shipping and containers and output from factories. So in today's episode, I want to go through a full review of exactly where we are right now. We'll have a look at shipping and how much is actually moved on the ocean every year. We'll talk about what's going on with containers. Where are we right now? Is the container crisis still ongoing or has it been solved? We'll have a look at what's going on with prices in terms of freight movement and what the impact of those prices are for the global economy, because this is one of the factors that's feeding through into inflation right now. So I want to delve down into a bit more detail on that. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think the impact of what's going on with the global supply chain is right now, and what the implications are going forward for the global economy. But before we get started on all of that, as usual, I'm going to ask you for a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Still on that push for 100,000 subscribers, getting closer every day. So if you can help out, that would be great. Don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos so you can skip over something if it's not that interesting for you. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube, Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. An estimated 90% of all of the world's goods are transported by sea. It's the cheapest and most efficient way to move bulky items. And around 60% of all goods that are transported by sea are moved in steel containers. In total, around $14 trillion worth of goods spend some time in one of these large metal containers. The rest of the goods that are transported are commodities like oil or grain, and they're poured directly into the hull of the ship. There's been a lot of talk over the last 18 months or so about a container crisis in the world, and I thought it'd be interesting to take a moment to talk about containers in a little more detail. In the dim and distant past, ships were loaded with a variety of boxes, sacks, barrels, and containers of various sizes to transport goods over long distances. Loading and unloading ships became a very labor-intensive and time-consuming process because containers came in all shapes and sizes. And often these containers had to be split or broken open because they were too large to move on to the next form of transport. Different shapes and sizes of packaging also meant space on a ship could not be effectively utilized, and also threw up weight and balance challenges for a vessel. Additionally, goods were likely to experience damage from handling or theft due to exposure. During World War II, the US military began exploring the use of standardized small containers to efficiently transport guns, bombs, and other materials to the front lines. However, it was not until the 1950s when entrepreneur Malcolm McLean realized that by standardizing the size of containers being used in global trade, loading and unloading of ships and trains could be at least partially mechanized, thereby making the transport from one mode of transportation to another seamless. Being able to transport containers from the point of manufacture all the way through to delivery resulted in reduced costs in terms of labor and potential damage. In 1956, McLean created the standard cargo container. The original containers were 33 feet long and 8 feet wide. The standardized system dramatically reduced the cost of loading and unloading a ship. In 1956, it was recorded that manually loading a ship cost $5.86 per ton. However, after standardization was introduced, this was reduced to just 16 cents. Today, the standard container size is 20 feet long, 8 feet wide, and 9 feet tall, which is referred to in the industry as a 20-foot equivalent container unit, or TEU. The length of containers can vary. Today, you can have a container that's up to 40 feet long. However, they're all the same width. And one of the key advantages of this is that they can all fit together like Lego blocks, which improves capacity utilization within the ship. Containers have revolutionized global trade, and there's been more than a 20 times increase in the amount of goods transported using these containers over the last 40 years. The standardization of container sizes also led to a surge in ship sizes. As these ships have been designed purely to move goods from A to B, the basic economics are that the larger the ship, the more profit you can make. The average size of a container ship has doubled over the past 20 years. The largest ships sailing today are capable of hauling 24,000 containers. That's a carrying capacity equivalent to a freight train 44 miles long. In order to put some perspective on that, a ship with a capacity of 19,000 containers would be able to carry 156 million pairs of shoes, 300 million tablet computers, or 900 million cans of baked beans. The Ever Given, which was the ship that got stuck in the Suez Canal for almost a week in March 2021 and caused a global logjam, has a capacity of 20,000 containers. And to give you a feel of the knock-on impact of the global problem that that blockage caused, around 12% of the world's shipping traffic passes through the Suez Canal. Whilst the Ever Given was stuck, at least 369 ships were stuck waiting to pass through the canal from either side, and the estimated cost of this was just short of $10 billion per day, which equates to around $400 million an hour or $6.7 million per minute. Shipbuilding companies are continuing to work on ever larger container vessels, and it's forecast that ships capable of carrying 30,000 containers, which is 50% larger than the Ever Given, will be on the open seas by 2030. This flowchart describes the container shipping process. At the start of the process, an exporter selects a shipping company and the container will be delivered to its factory for cargo loading. The exporter will then fill, stuff and seal the cargo and arrange for the container to be transported to the designated shipping port for loading onto ships. After the port paperwork, customs checks and final inspections are completed, the container will then be moved inside the port storage facility. In the port, the container weight will be measured before the container is stacked and ready to be loaded onto the ship. Once the ship arrives, the container will be brought to the ship by port trucks. Port cranes will lift the container from trucks and transfer it into the ship, where it will be stored in the cargo hold. Once the ship reaches the destination port, the container will be unloaded by the port cranes and transported to the port bay by port container trucks. Once the custody of the shipment is acquired by the freight forwarder, the container will be transported to the importer's warehouse, where it will be then unloaded. The empty container will then be returned to the shipping line's designated container yard, where it will wait for its next booking and onward journey. So we've talked a lot about the container crisis, and I wanted to go through exactly how that started. COVID-19 was first identified in Asia, and lockdowns started to occur all across Asia, and this led to a shutdown of a lot of the manufacturing capability and factories. So we had a situation where there was a lack of product, and also a lot of the ports were closed down in Asia. So during that period, the containers that were currently in transit all got moved to their destination ports, but there was nothing being returned back to Asia. Over the course of the next 6 months, COVID spread all around the world, and we then found outbreaks occurring in North America and Europe and a lot of the destinations for containers. And that led to a subsequent closing of all the ports and the companies in those countries who'd been ordering those imports. At the same time as that was happening, Asia started to come back online. They got over their first wave and started to go back to work. And the problem that they had is that even though they'd gone back into manufacturing product, they didn't have any of the containers because they were all sitting in all of the Western world waiting to be unloaded or waiting to be transported back to Asia. So we had a real problem in terms of a shortage in Asia where we needed empty containers to be able to fill. And we had an overload of containers in the Western world that were either still waiting to be emptied or were sitting idle waiting to be moved back to Asia. And in terms of transport, we had a problem because ships were either in the wrong places or they were fully laden or they were waiting for very long periods of time to be able to get into ports to be unloaded because we had COVID restrictions all across the world. And that situation hasn't really fully resolved itself. We've still got an imbalance in terms of where all the containers are located, but it has been getting better. At the start of 2022, the container crisis was still ongoing, but it wasn't as bad as it had been originally. However, since the Ukraine war started, we've had further disruption. Firstly, nobody's dealing with Russia anymore. So that's meant that a lot of companies that were previously moving goods backwards and forwards have stopped doing that. And that's had a knock-on impact to both the shipping lines and also the container companies. The container companies and the shipping companies themselves have been party to the sanctions. So they've had to change the way they're doing business. And at the same time as that, we've had changes to the supply chain. So we've had the Western world having to buy things from different countries. So that's changing the logistics of the whole environment. So what's happening in Ukraine right now has really thrown a spanner in the works in terms of trying to get the global logistics model sorted out. So let's have a look at what's happened to global freight rates over the last couple of years. This chart shows the Global Container Freight Rate Index from January 2019 to May 2022. And you can see that up until the start of 2020, freight rates were relatively stable and were considerably less than $2,000. As the impact of the pandemic started to unfold around the world, we saw rates increase dramatically. And by late 2021, the rate had increased to above $10,000. So that represented more than a 5x increase over an 18-month period. Now, over the last 6 months or so, we have seen the rate come down, but it's still sitting above $7,500. So when you compare that to where we were in the middle of 2020, it still represents an increase of more than 4x the long-term average. And this represents a major problem for the globe. If you look at what makes up freight costs, you've got a number of different factors. Firstly, you've got the shipping costs of actually purchasing or leasing the ship and insuring it and putting all the staff on board. Secondly, you've got the container costs, either leasing or buying containers. Thirdly, you've got the costs of moving all of these containers, loading them on and off the ships. And lastly, you've got the fuel. Now, these vessels are extremely heavy. If you're loading up 20,000 containers, that's putting a lot of weight. These vessels are absolutely enormous and they use a lot of fuel. And of course, what's happened over the last few months since Russia invaded Ukraine, we have seen the price of oil increase by more than 50%. And that's feeding into every different part of society. And shipping is no exception. The costs of paying for fuel for shipping have gone up by more than 50%. And of course, that's going to feed through into the cost of freight transport. So over the last 18 months or so, we've seen freight prices be pushed up because of supply and demand. We saw everybody wanting to buy things as we came out of the lockdowns and the globe reopened. There was a huge spike in demand. And because containers and ships were in the wrong places, we had a disconnect between supply and demand because the demand had gone up exponentially. And we just couldn't satisfy it in terms of moving all of the products. So that meant that prices went up. And they've stayed high because we haven't really fixed that global supply chain problem. But now we've got an added factor. We've got a massive increase in the price of fuel. And fuel is a big cost when you're a shipping company. If you're having to move very heavy vessels over long distances, thousands and thousands of miles, then you're going to use a lot of fuel. And of course, that's going to feed through into the prices. So we may be starting to get over the container crisis issue, but we're now encountering a new problem. We've now got issues with regards to increases in the cost of fuel to move those ships. So how big an impact is the cost of shipping on the global economy? Well, the IMF have undertaken some research on this exact matter. This chart shows the movement in shipping costs over the last couple of years and the knock-on impact on inflation of those costs. So the line chart on the left-hand side of this graphic shows the movement in the actual freight costs. And the bar chart on the right shows the inflation effects 12 months after the shipping costs increase. The IMF studied data from 143 countries over the last 30 years and found that shipping costs are an important driver of inflation all around the world. Their analysis shows that when freight costs double, inflation picks up by about 0.7%. But importantly, the effects are long-lasting and peak after a year and last up to 18 months. So this analysis implies that the increase in shipping costs observed in 2021 could increase global inflation by around 1.5 percentage points in 2022. So whilst the pass-through to inflation is less than that associated with fuel or food prices, which account for a larger share of customer purchases, shipping costs are much more volatile. And as a result of this, the contribution in the variation of inflation due to global shipping price changes is similar to the variation generated by shocks to global oil and food prices. Higher shipping costs hit prices of imported goods at the dock within 2 months and quickly pass through to producer prices, many of whom rely on imported inputs to manufacture their goods. The impact on the prices consumers pay at the cash register builds up more gradually, hitting its peak after 12 months. This is a much slower process than what's seen in the rise of global oil prices, which hit the pumps within a couple of months. Rising shipping costs affect inflation in some countries more than others. Countries that consume more imports see larger increases in inflation, and similarly, countries that pay typically higher freight costs, which include landlocked countries, low-income countries, and islands, see more inflation when freight costs rise. The IMF summary is that the inflationary impact of shipping costs will continue to build through to the end of 2022, and that the war in Ukraine is likely to cause further disruptions to supply chains, which could keep global shipping costs and their inflationary effects higher for longer. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because we've been talking a lot about the supply chain crisis and the container crisis. And a lot of these issues were really related back to COVID. And I think most of us expected that through the course of 2022, all of the issues would be finally ironed out. We'd get all the containers moved to the right ports. Everybody would return back to normal. And shipping costs would go back down to what we'd seen historically. However, I think what we've shown today is that that isn't happening. We're not going to see shipping costs returning back to where they were a couple of years ago. We've seen an increase of 4 or 5 times over the last 18 months or so. And going forward over the next 12 to 18 months, it's likely that they're going to stay high. The war in Ukraine is having a negative impact. We're seeing changes in the buying patterns globally. The Western world are avoiding buying things from Russia, so we're having to see a change in logistics to match those patterns. We're seeing the movement of LNG coming from Qatar and the USA to Europe, where previously we were taking gas through pipelines. So that's going to put more pressure on global shipping. But just generally, we're seeing an overall increase in demand. We still haven't satisfied the overhang in demand that we saw coming out from the COVID lockdowns. So we've got historic problems. But the two biggest problems that we've got right now in terms of freight are the 50% increase in oil prices that's been caused by the Ukraine war. That's feeding directly into the costs for all of these shipping companies, and that will make sure that freight prices stay high. And then the other factor is this aging network of ships that we've got. Because of the increase in demand, shipping companies want to get as many vessels onto the water as possible. So they're happy to use older ships that previously would have been decommissioned and scrapped. And when you've got an aging fleet, that will always increase costs because you have higher maintenance costs, they're less efficient, they use more fuel, and often they'll have a lot of operational problems. So when you have an older fleet, it's going to cost more. But in addition to that, we're also seeing these lease deals being put in place for 3 or 4 or 5 years. And these leases are going at incredibly high rates. So the companies who are chartering these ships are locking in a very high fixed cost. And of course, they're going to have to pass that fixed cost on to their customers. So that means that they're going to have to charge high freight rates. So what we're seeing here is a locking in of a really expensive period, and it's likely that it's going to feed through into the global economy for quite a long time yet. The IMF's assessment is that in 2022, increased freight costs will push up inflation globally by 1.5%. And when you think about the target rate across the globe, the USA, the UK, Canada, Australia all have a target rate of around about 2%. That's total inflation. So if 1.5% of your inflation is being made up by freight costs, that means that you can only afford an additional 0.5% to get to your target rate. Well, in reality, it's going to be impossible to get anywhere near that 2% whilst these freight costs remain high. So the problem that we've got is because of the way the industry is structured, because of the high fixed cost nature of running a shipping line and of running container companies, it means that those freight costs are going to stay up. So we're not going to see freight costs going back to where they were at the start of 2020. It's more likely that we've got a new base level, which has been established for the next few years. And of course, that's going to feed through into higher prices and higher inflation. So unfortunately, this is more bad news for the global economy. Shipping, I think, is something that's taken for granted. We don't really pay a lot of attention to shipping costs unless they start to get really expensive. And that's what's happened over the last 18 months. And unfortunately, it's now going to be a permanent factor for the next 2 or 3 years that freight costs will be high, and that's going to feed through as an additional expense in the cost of everything. Because 90% of all goods are moved on the water, and therefore they all carry this additional cost. And this is just the freight cost of moving it across the ocean. It doesn't include moving it once it actually hits the land. So obviously those prices have gone up as well because we've had an increase in the price of oil. So overall, we've got a further increase in transport costs, a further increase in the price of everything, and that's going to feed through both into higher prices, higher inflation, lower disposable income, and will also increase the chances of having a global recession. So this is all great news if you're a shipping company or you own a load of old ships prior to this period, but it's bad news for the rest of us, unfortunately. So hopefully you found this video interesting. I wanted to give you a slightly different perspective on the global market today. I wanted to look at that container crisis and see where we are, see whether it's still going on. It is going on, but it's in a slightly different format now. It's changing all the time. And unfortunately, what's happening in Ukraine is still causing problems, and it's causing problems in a slightly different way in the freight market. So if you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. I'm still on that push for 100,000. So if you haven't hit the subscription button yet, please do it now.